This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. At least 17 workers have died on Wisconsin dairy farms in the last 15 years. Most of them have been immigrants. Reporting from ProPublica found that the Occupational Safety and Health Administration did not investigate many of those deaths. That's because of an exemption that limits OSHA's authority to inspect and enforce safety laws on some smaller farms. The reporting found that OSHA might have been able to do more in those instances to protect workers and reduce the risk of great bodily harm or death. It all raises questions about workplace safety in a vital Wisconsin industry. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you heard about these Wisconsin dairy farm worker deaths in recent years? Has one of those happened in your community? What kind of things should be done to protect dairy farm workers? What questions do you have about this issue? If you work in or around the dairy farm industry, love to hear your perspective on safety at the workplace. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Mariam Jamil is an engagement reporter for ProPublica. She's the co-author of several stories from ProPublica on issues facing immigrant dairy farm workers in Wisconsin and elsewhere. Mariam, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You've covered a lot of workplace safety issues around the country. What drew you toward this story of immigrant dairy farm workers here in Wisconsin?
Right. Well, Wisconsin is very notable for a couple of things. So not only is it one of the nation's top producing dairy states after California, we also noticed from afar, my colleague Melissa Sanchez and I, who have been doing all these stories together, when Melissa first started, you know, pitching our bosses on taking a deep dive. Now we've been doing this for more than a year, just focused on Wisconsin's dairy industry. When she first pitched our bosses, it was partially because Wisconsin dairy workers are dying at a higher rate than dairy workers in other states. And there are protections that workers in some of the other dairy states have that Wisconsin workers notably don't have. For instance, there's no state occupational safety office that is looking out for workers. So the state is dependent on federal OSHA. So basically some of the protections there are thinner than they are, for example, in California. We had noticed just terrible incidents happening to dairy workers from afar. And so we figured there's probably a lot more to see here. Deaths are usually the more trackable, provable, documented bad things that happen to workers. And we knew there are probably many, many injuries as well that were not being tracked or documented anywhere. So we figured it was worth spending attention on this group of people in this very important industry because there's so little resources and attention paid to them already.
And people might think, okay, well, if there's no state Occupational Safety and Health Administration, that's okay, because there's a federal one, and people might assume, I would assume, if there's a death at a workplace, OSHA might investigate. They have the jurisdiction to investigate. But, and this is a little complicated, when it comes to small farms, it's not always clear that they do.
Yeah, this is very true. So farms across the country are limited when it comes to occupational safety oversight by this thing called the Small Farms Exemption that you explained a couple minutes ago. So basically, since 1976, Congress has written into OSHA's budget every single year that they can't use their money to do any kind of enforcement or training, just anything really related to a farm that has 10 or fewer employees. This is something that is, I believe, reading through the congressional record and all the arguments that took place back when this was first being put into place, this is something that was intended to protect small farmers, small businesses, people who are so focused on keeping a business running and don't have their separate, their legal department, their HR department, et cetera, to help them just kind of focus on running a farm and not face the risk of fines and what's looked at as government overreach. But we see that you have the deaths occurring at a significant rate on these farms. And sometimes when we've been talking to workers on these farms, the safety lapses are notable.
Can you tell us about the kind of stories you discovered when it came to these immigrant workers and the tragic incidents that that they died in?
Yeah, so we've been collecting these case files for a long time now, and it was really nice to spend the time with them and kind of investigate what happened, look through all the documentation. So as recently as this March 2023 on a small farm in a town called Melrose in western Wisconsin. There was a worker who was driving a skid steer, which is kind of like a very small tractor. It's used in most agricultural settings, dairy farms. It's used in construction. They can cause a lot of injuries. He was driving a skid steer to clean up manure and drive it into what's called like a manure lagoon or a manure pond. Cows produce a lot of it. And so there's often somebody who is, you know, every day driving this vehicle to scrape up manure. Not every dairy farm has a manure pond, but when they do have one, it's something that's really hard to get out of if you go in. So this man, his name was Florencio Gomez Rodriguez. He was on his shift. It was his 30th day at a new job. It was nighttime, around 9 or 10 p.m. And nobody had seen him for a while. And so his colleagues began to kind of look around. They didn't see the vehicle he was supposed to be driving, the skid steer. And then they see a little bit poking out of this manure lagoon, which kind of looks like a big swimming pool of mud. So they realize that he's likely in there. They call the law enforcement, and then they pull this vehicle out. He's in there and he has drowned inside this manure lagoon. This is something that also a very similar thing occurred to one of the other workers whose deaths we looked into. These types of lagoons are usually supposed to be fenced off. They're supposed to have something that can keep a vehicle out of it, a person out of it, a cow out of it. But a lot of the time they're not fenced and there isn't a lot of oversight of, you know, whether or not they're keeping up with safety requirements. And it's something I think from what I've heard talking to farmers, talking to different people about the reality of operating these machines, of being in charge of a manure lagoon, it's hard sometimes, I think, for them to like keep up with the fencing because they have to take it off to agitate the manure. They have to do all these things, but it's a very real risk and has led to deaths around the country, this particular hazard. At some of the other workers whose deaths we looked into, they had been crushed by skid steers or telehandlers, so different types of farming vehicles that are very heavy, that have parts that can fall on you if something's not quite right with the machine. So they were crushed by the heavy metal arms of the machines that they were cleaning. Other deaths that we looked into happened when workers were moving cows back and forth between different parts of the farm that they had to be on. So dairy cows often weigh around 1,400 pounds. And so if as a human, you're crushed by a dairy cow, that can be fatal or very damaging. And so some of those deaths happened because workers were crushed or trampled by cows.
We're talking to ProPublica reporter Mariam Jamil about her reporting on issues facing immigrants working on dairy farms in Wisconsin and gaps in OSHA oversight. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What kind of protections would you like to see for dairy farm workers? Would you like to see stronger state standards like California has that might close some of those gaps in the federal workplace enforcement? Do you or a loved one work in the dairy farm industry? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Mariam Jamil, engagement reporter for ProPublica, with us today to share her reporting on immigrant dairy farm workers in Wisconsin, the serious risks they face. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls. Don is with us in Ixonia. Don, hi.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Don?
Well, I guess from my distinction, I grew up on a small dairy farm and did lose my brother to a farming accident. And I had a lot of people who said to my father, you know, why don't you sue? Well, he was a friend of my father. And the whole look was there is like my father said, you know, suing my friend, you know, how is that going to bring back my son in any way? And all it will do is ruin and bankrupt him. So, you know, I guess in my distinction of looking at farms, I guess there should be, OSHA should be looking into, I guess, farm accidents, I think. But I think there has to be a different distinction of a small family farm versus the large corporate farm who's employing a lot of people.
Don, thanks for sharing your story. So sorry for that loss in your family. Mariam, OSHA regulations do kind of do what Don was talking about there, make a distinction for smaller family farms. But I read in your reporting, what we think of that family farm may have changed a lot over the years, where instead of it's, you know, my family and maybe a couple neighbors from time to time, there are long-term staffers or coming in and out immigrant farm workers, often undocumented, on a lot of these slightly larger dairy farms.
Right. Don, thank you so much for your call, and I'm so sorry to hear of your loss. There are a couple of things coming to mind about the way that OSHA does distinguish between small and large farms. So I believe that on smaller farms, based on basically on a smaller employer, when OSHA goes and does an inspection and finds failures in safety that they identifies failures in safety that they want to issue fines for, those fines will be limited based on the size of a farm, so, or the size of any business. So basically, they're going to suffer less financially just because they are a smaller business. And another thing is that when it's speaking of family farms, the people who are, let's say, an owner, like a child of an owner, a husband or a wife, an immediate family member, basically, that's a part of the farm, OSHA does not count those as employees. That might get a little tricky once we go into like a cousin, an uncle, someone who is paid, who's also technically family. OSHA does tend to count those as employees, but that is a really important distinction to make. The family farms that are truly family farms, not employing outside people, are regarded differently by OSHA. And you mentioned the immigrant workers. I think, yeah, that is something that has changed in Wisconsin, whereas once these farms were being worked by immediate family members and by local folks, now there are primarily undocumented immigrants from Latin America who are the employees on these sort of medium and larger farms. And these are people who are disadvantaged in different ways. Sometimes they might not have had the level of training or training in their language. These are folks who don't have immigration status, a work visa, something that gives them the flexibility to just go to another job, to speak up if they don't feel like the conditions are adequate, things like that. And I think that is what has made a lot of people look at the oversight and safety on these farms that are employing immigrant workers differently than maybe they would have liked to for the very small family farm.
Thanks again for calling in, Don. Julie is with us in Madison now. Julie, hello.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Julie?
Well, I'm about 60 years old, and I grew up on a farm in Wisconsin, a small dairy farm, and my father died in a farm accident. I'm not bitter or angry. He was a person who was knew what he was doing and was stubborn. It made it tough, though. He climbed up a silo when he had lost some strength in his hands and fell to a death. And as I grew up, I ended up becoming a police officer, and I have this conflict with this conversation. It feels like insurance and capitalism should not drive safety. Safety should be for all of us. And whether, I mean, it's a family farm or not, I understand things are driven by litigation, but frankly, we need to protect everybody a little bit more on the prevention end and education end. And if there's language barriers, that's just even worse, because no amount of money fixes these things. I guess I felt like OSHA and other agencies should be about as much prevention as possible.
Julie, thanks a lot for the call and for sharing your story. I don't have a lot of time left. Mariam, can you talk a little bit about, do you see efforts out there to do some of the things Julie is talking about? Better lessons in prevention, safety, overcoming language barriers that we were talking about earlier in ways that might make people proactively safer rather than investigating afterward.
Right. That's a really great point, Julie. And I'm also sorry to hear of your loss. You see in Wisconsin, UW-Madison Extension, different UW Extension offices doing a lot of work to educate farmers and sometimes workers on different safety issues proactively. Interestingly, to our conversation about OSHA, that small farms exemption that bans them from investigating after something bad happens or allegedly happens also bans OSHA from doing any training, which I think is very troubling to people in the occupational safety community. And there are different nonprofits locally that are focused on workers' rights. I will say from our reporting, most of those do not seem to have reached dairy workers to the extent that maybe they've reached other workers. A distinction with dairy is that people are working longer shifts than in most industries. Cows need to be milked 2 to 3 times a day. People are generally working 70 plus hours a week. They're on remote farms that they're living on. So these questions of safety and training are especially important, and they're also probably less likely to happen. So we have seen good initiatives in Wisconsin that are ongoing and people whose lives are dedicated to the safety and training. But those are sort of limited solutions that aren't truly getting at the problem, I think, to the extent that the problem exists. And it's interesting when we ask different government agencies who are relevant to the dairy industry, like the DATCAP, the Consumer Protection and Agriculture Agency, and others, about these questions relevant to dairy worker safety, they always come back to us and say, like, oh, we don't actually have anyone who works on this. So like a larger coordinated effort doesn't really seem to exist. Some dairy industry groups also have some trainings available, and insurance companies for farms also advise farms, but yeah, we're seeing that it's not enough to keep these injuries and deaths from happening.
Mariam, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for sharing your reporting with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Mariam Jamil, engagement reporter for ProPublica. She joined us to share her reporting on immigrant dairy farm worker deaths in Wisconsin. She's been working with colleagues on a long series on this issue, both here in Wisconsin and beyond. We'll get a link up to her ProPublica reporting. You can find that at wpr.org/centraltime. Again, that's wpr.org/centraltime.